Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters on the NATO-Russia summit. Stop, start. If NATO equals 28 countries and Russia equals one, then you'd think it would add up to NATO having the stronger hand going into this weekend's NATO-Russia summit in Lisbon. But for a number of reasons, it doesn't, primarily because internally, NATO is being pulled in at least three directions, if not 28, while Russia has one voice, one focus, and is going in one direction. Russia has another advantage. The first part of the NATO summit is for NATO members only to thrash out their strategic concept document. That's a management term for what are we for? Or to translate it back into management speak, what are we for going forward? Dreadful phrase. It crawled out of the financial district of London about 4 years ago. Then it spread into management, onto the politicians. And now I even hear journalists using it. Going forward, we need to... Ghastly. Do you mean in the future or from now on? But, sorry, I digress. Back to NATO's question about what it's for. Going forward. The problem is that the answer the UK gives might be very different to that, say, given by Turkey, Poland, or France. The British answer, echoed by the USA, Canada, and Denmark, and the Netherlands, would be about out-of-theatre operations, meaning that after the Cold War, NATO is for dealing with global problems such as terrorism, piracy, Yemen, Afghanistan, not the Russian hordes across the central European plains. But Poland, Bulgaria, Slovakia, and many others in that part of the world, well, they look across those plains, they see those hordes, and they say, actually, that is what NATO is for. And then in the middle, you've got the French and the Germans, whose view of NATO appears to be that it's a jolly good idea because it gives us an American umbrella, an American nuclear umbrella, which a lot of it we don't even have to pay for, just in case Russia or Iran or whoever ever rains on us. But let's not spend very much money and let's actually not do very much. Now, given those diverging views, it's hard to pull together a concrete mission statement. And that suits Moscow down to the Russian steppe. So President Medvedev, who's already scored victories over President Obama on Georgia, Ukraine and ballistic missile defence, BMD, well, he can settle down to watch NATO privately disagreeing with itself, get a brief on how the Turks may not help NATO on BMD, and go on to the NATO-Russian part of the meeting whilst holding several aces. Not least that the whole reset button on US-Russia relations, pressed by Obama, seems to be stuck, as their nuclear reduction treaty may now never be signed. Opening remarks to Obama? Ah, Barak, didn't you promise me at the G20 recently that the START treaty would easily get through Congress? Obama can only lame duck the question by mumbling something about democracy, midterm elections, recalcitrant Republicans. And Medvedev can smile and say, ah, yes, pesky thing, that democracy stuff. Not something he has to overly concern himself with. Russia can then try to dictate various terms for the things that NATO, and particularly the Americans, want, such as transit supply routes through to Afghanistan, help on getting out of Afghanistan, cooperation on BMD, and helping out with the Iranian nuclear issue. And what do they want in return? For NATO and the US to back off. It's already happening. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.